Today I'm proclaiming the word of God from the Gospel, John chapter 1. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, as we hear your word to us, fill us with your Holy Spirit so that we may believe in the name of the Lord Jesus and so have authority to live as your children. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. It's not uncommon for people to express doubts about the existence of God or the goodness of God or God's care for human beings or even for creation. It's also not uncommon for people to express anger at the very idea of God. How can we talk about a benevolent creator when we see with our own eyes so much injustice and needless suffering? I've heard the celebrity Stephen Fry talk this way. He doesn't believe that there is a God, of course, but the very idea of a benevolent creator is offensive to him. Maybe you've found yourself listening to him or people like him with understanding. It doesn't take a great deal of empathetic thinking to understand doubt or even anger. Indeed, the book of Job could be said to be a biblical exploration of questions, of doubts, or even of anger, the anger of human beings in their relationship with God, or even the very idea of God. But then there is the human being, Jesus Christ. With all our questions, doubts, and even anger, when we encounter Jesus, the Son of Mary, the carpenter's son from Nazareth, when we hear his teaching, when we hear about his life, his suffering, his death, when we hear about his resurrection, something within us is moved away from doubt, towards faith, away from anger, and towards peace, even towards joy. Now today I'm proclaiming good news from God's word. The human being, Jesus of Nazareth, does not only teach us about God, but is God in the flesh. In him, we see exactly what God is like. So today, if you have questions or doubts, or even anger at the very idea of God, receive the word of God. And God will give you faith for your doubt. And God will give you peace for your anger. Let's listen to how the gospel for today begins. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. These words begin the prologue to John's gospel. It's like the overture being played before the curtain is raised. The main themes of the gospel are being presented in summary form. John says, in the beginning was the Word. Now this can sound a little cryptic in modern English, of course. The Greek word, which gives us our English word, is logos. And it doesn't just mean the spoken word or the written word. It means something like rationality or order or structure. The sort of things that the physicist Stephen Hawking was trying to find. If you've read his Brief History of Time, he concludes that book with a search for the equation which would reveal the mind of God. In biblical terms, that would be the logos, what's being talked about in today's reading. But it's evident from St. John that he does not think about the word as an idea or an equation or a concept such as a physicist could discover. Rather, this word is something personal, something that we can describe and address using human personal pronouns, some one divine. Now, St. John goes on to describe the place of this word with God the Father. Listen to what he says. He was in the beginning with God. All things came into being through him, and without him not one thing came into being. What has come into being in him was life. And the life was the light of all people. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness did not overcome it. Before there was time, in other words, there was the Word. Before there was creation, there was the Word, the Logos. And it's through the Word that all things come into being. Let's pause here. In the creation account in Genesis, do you remember this? How does God create? He creates by speaking his word. God speaks and there is. And do you remember the first word that God speaks in the narrative in Genesis? Let there be light. There is darkness. The Logos is spoken and there is light. God's word is performative. It does what it says. When God speaks, light comes into darkness. Now we can tap into the meaning of this teaching if we just think about our human experience of darkness, especially if we are in a very dark place, literally. There is darkness and then light comes in. We no longer grope or stumble. We see our way. And St. John is writing about this sort of light that comes into darkness and cannot be overcome by darkness. It's the light that gives us life with God. St. John goes on to say this about the Word. He was in the world, and the world came into being through him. Yet the world did not know him. He came to what was his own, and his own people did not accept him. But the world and his own people did not know or receive the Word. In other words, the light that the Word brings. It's not a light, in other words, that can be seen with human eyes. Rather, it's a light that illuminates by faith. Let's think about one analogy for light in this sense. This shows us, I think, this analogy, what the light of faith is like. Imagine a young couple come to this altar to get married. They come using their reason and their experience. They experience their love for each other. They know this. They also come with their understanding that marriage is for life, experience and reason coming together. But what is in darkness? What is hidden from them? What is in darkness and hidden is their future together. No one, when they get married, knows what the future will bring. There is darkness there. But as a couple comes to this altar, they hear the word of the Lord Jesus, which brings light into darkness. Remember that it's the Lord Jesus who says, "What God has joined together, let no one separate." This word of the Lord brings light, the light of God, and illuminates the path of married love. Now indeed, the course of true love never does run smooth. But where there is the word of God received in faith, there God's light shows the way forward. As a young couple receive each other as gifts from God, there is light and strength in the path of marriage. Now St. John brings out the power of faith in God's word as he goes on. "But to all who received him, who believed in his name, he gave power to become children of God, who were born not of blood, or of the will of the flesh, or of the will of man, but of God." To receive the word is to believe in his name, that is to trust him. To trust that in him, in the Logos made flesh, in Jesus Christ, we have God's forgiveness as a gift. To trust that in him we will be raised to new life in the body. And to trust that in him we have the way to God the Father opened up to us. So that as we, as human beings, may share in the life of God. As St. John says, it's by trust in him that we have power, that we have authority to live as children of God. That we can call on God the Father just as Jesus does. That we can stand with confidence before the Father just as Jesus does. And that we can receive each other as brothers and sisters as Jesus does. And all of this not because we can reach up to God, but because God has reached down to us. Reached down to us not with a teaching or an ideology or even with a spirituality, but with a flesh and blood human being. Listen again to what St. John writes. And the Word became flesh and lived among us, and we have seen his glory, the glory as of a Father's only Son, full of grace and truth. This creative Word of God became flesh, assumed our humanity, became a human being. And this is what we celebrate at Christmas, that the little baby, wrapped up by his mum to keep him snug and comfortable, the one who lay in Mary's arms, this is the one through whom all things were made, the one who reveals the glory of God to us, a glory that St. John says is full of grace and truth. Now, we human beings don't naturally trust God, even though the evidence of a creator is staring us in the face. We cannot bring ourselves to have confidence that the one who created us cares for us or loves us or is close to us to help us in our suffering or our loneliness or our hopelessness. But the Lord Jesus Christ is one of us. He's a human being. And he shows us the favour of God, the grace of God. He was willing to share in our suffering and in love for us to take on the burden of our sin, of our shame, so that we can trust that God does not will to harm us, but to draw us to himself, so that we may come into the life of love. So John in his letters says that God is love, and it is Jesus, the Son of Mary, the eternally begotten Son of God. It is Jesus who reveals the glory, the truth, and the grace of God to us. So let's today receive this word, the same word that said, "Let there be light," and there was light. Let's receive the word of his forgiveness, of his mercy, his help. Let's receive the light of his word into our lives, so that our lives may be shaped by the love of God, and this love may be seen in how we treat each other, treating each other as we would like to be treated, being generous as God is generous with us, forgiving each other from our hearts, and giving glory to God the Father. May all this be in Jesus' name. Amen. May the peace of God, which passes all understanding, guard your hearts and your minds safe in Christ Jesus. Amen.